Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. Is it too late now to say sorry? 'Cause I'm missing more than just your body. Oh, is it too late now to say sorry? Yeah, I know that I let you down.
It's not too late for Kevin James to actually coach the Saints. Welcome to a championship round edition of Sorry We Love Football, the only show that actively hates the sport that it covers. I'm your host and Eagles fan, Daniel Hartigan. Any Tom Brady loss is an Eagles win, so I'm feeling pretty good after that weekend. With us, as always, Chiefs fan Danny Solomon. Danny, are you just basking in this Chiefs win or what? Was that better than the Super Bowl?
I mean, a Super Bowl is a Super Bowl, but this is argued by many. I'm not an insane person for bringing this up. Us winning potentially the greatest game of all time. I'm not going to say it was definitely. There are some soft-hearted fans out there who are still nostalgic for the 80s and 90s when games were different and the shoulder pads were bigger. But this is a big, huge game that everybody saw because football is at its peak right now. It was the two teams everybody wanted to play each other the most. It had everything, and we won. So, I mean, yeah, you know, you can't hang up a trophy yet, but it's pretty close.
All right, I'm glad you're happy. Hey, we got Washington football team prisoner Jamel Johnson with us. Jamel, the next time we talk to you, I think we're going to officially know your team's stupid new name. How excited are you?
I'm not worried about that right now, Dan. My main concern is the Pro Bowl, the 2022 Pro Bowl taking place in Las Vegas.
Hey, I kind of forgot that I was doing Las Vegas this year.
Oh, I never forget.
Are there any Washington whatevers on the Pro Bowl?
Yeah. I think all the hot dogs are from FedEx Field.
That's good. Hey, joining the show today, we have comedian and Packers fan Talib Babb. What's up, Talib? And I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's cool, man. It's cool. We kind of deserved it, you know. Not we, but you know, Aaron kind of deserved it. So you know, it comes with the territory, man. It's good to be here.
I think that's a great place to start, because you had you have front row seats to this Aaron Rodgers experience all year long. Obviously, it's been a major topic, but you know, where are you with this? I know we're going to get into it a little bit later too, but do you want him back? Are you forgive and forget? Or are you just like, dude, you played bad, you talk shit, I'm done with this guy?
The first 48 hours was rough. I was like, bring on Jordan Love. I was I was through. I was fed up. The first, like, up until like yesterday around supper time is when I kind of like accepted things. He should have got off Facebook a long time ago. And I was cool with the Facebook talk, but then you go out there in what would have been your last playoff game in the last dance, you don't throw a touchdown. It's like, come on, man. Like, you reading too much Facebook. You can't read the Niners defense. I don't appreciate this. Please lock in. And you didn't do that, and we lose a stinker at the undefeated Lambeau. So it was tough. It was to Jimmy Garoppolo. It was tough. But at this point, he can come back. I think it's kind of just accepting that I'm not going to get my hopes set next year for us making it to the Super Bowl, because I think this was like our best chance. But if he comes back, I'll welcome him. It's not like, you know, it's not like two days ago where I was like, yo, fuck him. You better not ever step in Lambeau ever again, or his beef. I've simmered down.
But what about the weather, man? It was cold.
No,
you don't give him nothing for it. It was really cold.
No,
I did think he was a little bit. You know how Aaron likes to play the game like he's bored a little bit, and he just walks up to the center with his hands in his little pouch, and then he takes it out. He acted like it was one of those games he could be bored at, But then it was like, dude, you can't go 3 and out in the fourth quarter when the game's this close. Like, I need to see something from you. Like,
I think on his little Microsoft Surface tablet, he just has Facebook. He's just scrolling through Proud Boy accounts.
Liking statuses.
Yeah. On Parler during the game. Rough to see. But how did the special teams get so bad? Is it because everybody's just been so focused on A-Rod they forgot they had kickers and shit?
I don't know. And you know what's weird? It's usually like every year we go, when the Packers lose, we find somebody outside of A-Rod to blame. But this one, possibly because of how everything went. And actually, I think for me, it's part we had a the defense only gave up 6 points. Like, I've never seen a Packers defense play so well in the Aaron Rodgers era, or in any era probably. So it's just like, you're at home, man. I know the special team is stinking it up, but like, you at home, you're the MVP, presumptive MVP. You gotta score. You gotta plan to score more than 13 points to win a playoff game.
Yeah, just you know, and I know his whole beef was that he was worried that they weren't drafting enough good players, or he doesn't get enough help, but he's got a top three receiver. Aaron Jones is like a top five, top seven running back when he's at his best. Their defense played elite. It's just like, I don't know a better situation. I guess the Broncos are where he's rumored to go, but if you want to be on a good team, like, you're getting number one seeds, you're getting home playoff games. What else do you want, dude? Like, it seems like a good situation to me.
But it's just so cold.
He's a Cali boy. He could go to San Fran if he really wants to. Because I don't know if they're going to pick up Jimmy G's next contract. So he could very easily go to San Fran. And I'm fine. Let's go home, I guess.
That's a crazy move. I mean, it makes sense because he's always wanted to be there. But it is kind of a you can't beat him, join him type situation now. It's a really bad look. It's just...
He's already a villain. He's already, I think he understands that he's already painted himself for the last 5 months as a villain. So it's just, this would be embracing it just full heel at this point if he goes to San Fran.
I do like that. You know, I know we'll get back to Aaron, but I do like his awareness is like a 99 on Madden, and he knows that I think how he's being perceived. So I do enjoy that. He's not like surprised that everybody's mad at him or thinks he's stupid or something. He gets it, but he is playing with it a little bit.
Did you see the QAnon documentary?
No.
Yeah,
I think so.
There's a character on there that reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. It's this guy who's basically a twerp. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback, so maybe a difference in that. But just a twerpy guy who, like, thinks he's the puppet master of the entire world. Like, has just this idea because he got a hold of this thing that now he's, like, he's able to manipulate all the chess pieces on the board. Like, we're all just such... idiots at his service.
That's how I felt when I bought my first top hat.
It gives you a power. Club,
one of those big top hats with the zebra. It was like a Mad Hatter, but it also has zebra print.
You were in the party, can't just orchestrating everything.
Yeah, yeah. I'm orchestrating everything, man. I'm like Peyton Manning calling shit at the line. Yeah, give me some ice cubes over here. Da da da. You know what I mean?
Hey, let's actually start this show. Danny, or every week we get into this thing by talking about what we hated about watching football this week. Danny, I don't know exactly where you're going to go with this because it kind of had the best week you've ever had, but kick us off.
Yeah, I mean, you're right to think that it might annoy people because I am obviously very happy with how things went. And I guess if I had to say what I hated... I would say that I hate that there's no more suspense now, that we kind of know what's going to happen from here on. And I say this honestly, trying not to piss off any of our Bills fan friends. I don't want to sound condescending here or add to your pain in any way, because I've been there. 2018 AFC Championship game against Brady. I've been right where you are. The Bills were the best team in the playoffs, and it truly sucks that you're gone so soon. You deserved more glory from this season. Did Allen maybe benefit a little bit from our best secondary player being out after the first series? Sure.
He was running over linebackers, but you're right.
He was great. And with you guys gone, there's honestly nothing left for me to fear, and it sucks. I don't fear any of the quarterbacks left in the playoffs. I don't fear Burrow, with the O-line. I don't fear Stafford, who's going to beef it at any moment. And I definitely don't fear Jimmy G, who we've already sunned once in the Super Bowl and has proven to be even more crap since then. Place your bets, people. The Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl again this year. It just sucks that without the Bills or without Brady or without A-Rod, there's kind of no juice to any of it.
I don't, you're kind of right, but in Cali, it's nothing but juice. This is the juice bowl.
who would you say going up against the Chiefs? Bengals obviously are going to lose. I think we're all in agreement on that. If we play either team in the Super Bowl, which one is juicier?
Definitely LA. Definitely the Rams.
LA is juicy because it's at home.
Yeah, it's at home. You got some stars.
You got Von
Miller. Matt Stafford redemption.
It would be
Von Miller showing up.
It would be the first halftime show that the show kind of benefits the home team. You know what I mean? Like, they would be so rammed out. Like, yeah. It would be, because it's such a, like, an LA-based show.
Right.
Well, I know Mary J. and I guess Eminem aren't from LA, but it feels very LA, like the show.
Oh, no.
So.
Yeah, if Dre and Kendrick are there, it's as LA as it gets. YG is jumping on the stage.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you added Snoop. I mean, that's just, it's man, it's weed, it's LA, it's gangs, it's incredibly LA. It's,
yeah. Vape pins are definitely getting in.
I feel like you would have to somehow summon the collective power of early 90s West Coast hip hop at its peak into the body of Matthew Stafford in order to make this game competitive. It would have to be all of it collectively in his being, throwing the football where he needs it to be, getting, moving his legs down the field, getting him to not throw the interception he always throws.
We could find a, yeah, sure, man. We could find him some Pelly Pelly jeans and dress him up, right?
Well, we need Dub C to be his dialect coach right now. Teach him how to crip walk. So that needs to be his touchdown celebration now. He needs to talk a little bit different.
Could he get away?
His audibles need to sound different. I think we can groom him. You only, what, we have a couple weeks? Because he's...
We got 3 weeks. We got time. Yeah. We got time.
Yeah, we got more than enough time.
What just so funny Dub-C... that Mr. LA has to be Matthew Stafford.
It's crazy. Janelle and I were talking about, what's this, the actor on Snowfall? He's some British dude, but he had to learn Dempson, how to talk like he's Dempson from LA. Idris.
Yeah, Damson Idris.
Yeah. And Dub C was his dialect coach. So if he could turn a British guy into LA, Matt Stafford's already halfway there. We got this.
Dub C being a dialect coach and picking up to tutoring people in his spare time is really funny. That's actually really hilarious.
It seems like weird for him to picture him very as a mentor, like a chill guy, like in any capacity.
I think he just took him to a couple swap meets.
That makes sense. Well, Danny, I guess I'm glad you're kind of just acknowledging how good the Bills are, but you're not doing the thing that, like, if you're a Bills fan, you got to be happy. You guys left your heart out there. Like,
no.
I saw some takes that both fan bases just got to appreciate the game. I'm like, dude, when the Sixers lost on the buzzer beater in game 7 to Kawhi, I wasn't like, what a great game. I was sent into despair and sadness for months.
That's how I felt, because I'm a fan of a team that's never going to ever reach that ever in life, ever in the history of the earth.
Yeah.
Ever, even when they're playing football after the meteor hits this motherfucker and they're playing space ball, we're never going to get that close to a chip.
Well,
so what I witnessed was amazing.
Your secondary team also never going to win a championship.
Never, ever, ever, ever. It's never going to happen. I was so proud of the Bills. Because I'll never know happiness.
I try to tell Aaron that. I was just like, hey, this pain that you feel is because you guys got close. The team's good, but it's hard to tell somebody when they're that close to it still. Talib, what'd you hate about watching football this week?
Easy for me to say Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Another thing that relates is the other A-Rod. I did not like seeing Alex Rodriguez in the Lambeau bleachers.
What was that?
Wearing a Green Bay hat. bro, who stamped you? Who vetted you? Who said you could be in the bleachers with us mobbing? Like, in a playoff game, bro? You can come through in, like, week four, but, like, wait, coming through in January? Nobody, come on, bro. Come on, bro.
Yeah, it was doomed.
You better come
them.
Through wearing a NFL Rob Lowe hat, like a generic one, but don't come through, like, trying to be gang. Nah, bro. There can't be two A-Rods in the same building. You're a part of the problem, bro. You can't just, I don't like that. I didn't like that.
You ever see Time Cop? That's that. You can't have the same the same molecules in the same area, or shit gets real.
And they for sure got the same molecules. That's big facts.
I didn't need that. Once I saw that, I was like, oh, this, and he's dancing to music. I'm like, nah, he's having a good time. I was like, nah, man. Nah, we can't. This isn't right.
Why wasn't he in a suite? Why was he just in the crowd?
That didn't make any sense, man.
Because the building was made in 1946. There's only like three suites.
You don't think A-Rod could ask for a favor? Or
them suites was taken.
Alex Rodriguez?
For sure. Them suites was definitely taken by, I don't know, Joe Rogan was there on behalf of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers hooked him up. He said, if you don't get the Joe Rogan suite, I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
Like, see what I'm saying?
And he stunk
Rogan
up.
Gets one. Are there any rappers from Milwaukee? Cool, cool, Cal.
Damn, nice poll.
Giannis?
No, I think they make Giannis stand in the
poll. Anthony Davis got one.
Otherwise, they just say Giannis, you're Greek. You don't know about this.
But yeah, Alex Rodriguez didn't even realize he was a fan of professional football. And then he just pops up. I think the Packers were playing well. They show A-Rod, and like you're saying, Danny, a Time Cop type of situation occurs, and then they play like shit the rest of the game, like the moment that happened. Because it was kind of early on that they showed him.
He should never be allowed in the building again. That's for sure. If you bring Aaron Rodgers back for another season, if you're trying to go one last ride, get A-Rod, the other A-Rod, the fuck out of there.
Yeah, he should have been evacuated and shown the door very early in that game.
God, I'm sorry. That's a lot to deal with. Two A-Rods in one game.
Yeah. Never thought I'd see it. I didn't think I would see it.
Two A-Rods in a freezer.
Oof.
Terrible.
Jamel, what'd you hate about watching football this week?
What I hated about football this week? Coded language. It's not just in football. It follows you around in other places of life. You know the type. You watch The Bachelor, Bachelorette. I wanted to get some quality time in the fantasy suite. That means we're going to fuck with a couple condoms on. You know what I mean? A white guy calls a black guy a thug. He meant nigger. Hard R. White guy, job interview. Hey, you're overqualified. Nigger. You know it. You've heard it. In football, analytics means we're going to try to step on your throat. We're going to try to impose our will. We don't give a shit. I didn't look at a calculator when I decided to go for it or for fourth down in the middle of the fucking field. I'm going for two. The analytics says, no, that's my nuts. Analytics means my testosterone running it through my dick onto the field at my opponent. I want to shame these men and make them feel they do not have a chance to win this game. And guess what? That shit always backfires. Maybe you should look at a computer, you fucking idiot. Mike Vrabel. What the fuck is wrong with you? Kick the ball. You done turn the ball over six times in one quarter. And you find yourself tied. Going into halftime, you want to go for two because of a penalty? That means nothing? Preach that penalty on a untimed down doesn't mean anything. That's a trick, dude. That's like betting on the Lions. That's why they give you extra odds. On the line. That's why it's always a lion special. It's not real, man. And if the Titans had kicked that field goal, they would have won that game. Because at the end of the game, they wouldn't have needed Tannehill to get four first downs. He's good for one. He's great at getting one first down. The problem is when you try to start to add extra shit. And that is analytics, numbers. Fuck out of here.
Coded language.
When did they start saying analytics to explain moves that are clearly testosterone-based? When did that become a number thing? Going forward on fourth down is risky. No accountant would ever suggest you do that.
When I first saw it pop up was like along with Twitter, where people would just bitch and like put out statistics like 58% of the time and like 538, whatever that site is. Like the nerds got a hold of football and then they made some good points. So then we kept them in the room because they made some initial good points about.
But the nerds were.
When you should call your timeouts.
It's like, based on Madden. This was all based on Madden. It was 100%. Never reality. You always take the points. Bruce Arians will tell you that. They never would have even been in that game had they tried to do some analytics. You take the fucking 3 points and you keep playing the game because the game is actually long as fuck.
Truly. Game. People will be acting like the second quarter, 8 minutes left. You got to go for it here, Tom. No, you don't. It's crazy. Especially if you know it's Tannehill. All right, if you got Aaron Rodgers, then it's kind of like, all right, I can get this. He can get 2 yards for me, usually, you would think. Tom Brady or whatever. Ryan Tannehill, why are you putting that burden on his shoulders? Why
are you ever trusting a man who went to Texas A&M?
I do not believe Ryan Tannehill will be the Titans quarterback next season.
Oh, I really don't. What else are they going to do? What can they really do?
Draft a guy. I just don't think that's the answer. This was their best shot. They were in the number one seed, home playoff game, playing the fucking Bengals, a team that doesn't. It hasn't been the playoffs in like 30 years or some shit. Like, you got to win that game.
They just put in Mariota. Get Mariota back.
Danny, to your point about kind of knowing the outcome, even if the Titans win against the Bengals, they not moving shit against Kansas City. So, you know, you're kind of in a shitty situation regardless.
But we'd have to be in Tennessee. I mean, you're right. And, you know,
that's true. That's a good point.
It really would have fueled a different set of shitty TV talking points about how Derrick Henry is going to run all over us or whatever. The guy clearly didn't have it this week. And, you know, it was inevitable when the Bills were the only thing in the way, the only divergent point in the universe that might have pushed us into another outcome.
The disrespect for the other teams.
Except for the Bills.
The Bengals have beat you this season.
They're fine. They're fine. I mean, you can't imagine Joey Burrow going in season two, actually 1.5, really, going into a hostile playoff environment with no line, 9 sacks. And to your point, Jamel, about Madden is real life. Madden is when I play a Madden game, that's when I feel most in tune with the reality of football, which is, I don't think I'm going to lose just because I'm down 2 touchdowns, or I don't think I'm going to lose because I only have 13 seconds on the clock. If I have 3 timeouts, I'm going to madden it up. I'm going to make it happen. That's when you're a normal fan and you're watching your team, you're like, it's the first quarter. We're down by 3. We're done. It's over. This is just going to keep. We're just going to keep shit in the bed. When you're a Madden player, you realize this fucking game is 60 minutes and I have plenty of time to throw long bombs whenever I want.
You play 15-minute quarters?
Well, I play 7-minute quarters, but still.
I
would have 20 minutes in real life, dude. Are you kidding? Yeah.
The score would be 180 to 60 if I played 15-minute quarters. With the Chiefs.
You got the 180.
Yeah. When I was big into Madden, I used to turn like the meter, the sliding bars up to like make the AI as good as it could possibly be. Play on all Madden, do 15-minute quarters, and just try and run a sound game, like 3-yard run, and just it was pretty difficult. Yeah, I had way too much time on my hands.
The way you play Madden is disgusting to me. It's just a weird insight into your personality. Like, you just need as much adversity as possible. So that even the slightest progress that you make feels like a huge victory. I don't know what that says about you.
I don't either.
AP classes in high school.
But I do know what I hated about watching football this week. And I guess let's talk about this overtime stuff. I know everybody wanted the Bills to have a chance and get the ball. And people are talking about revising kind of the format. I mean, I love the college overtime. I don't know how that would look in the NFL. But it's clear, Danny, you were the victim of this in the AFC Championship a couple years ago against the Pats. Whatever team got the ball first was going to score. Like, both defenses were gassed. But I have a proposal, and this is what it is. I think we keep it the same so that if a team does score a touchdown, it ends the game. But we eliminate the coin toss. That's the part that I think is unfair. It's just like, oh, it's going to come down to if it's heads or tails. I think the home team always gets the ball to begin overtime. Because with this, at least the other team knows what situation they're preparing for if they're going into OT. It might make them feel more inclined to go for the win in regulation, or if they see that it's going to be overtime, they at least fucking know, all right, we got to stop them. We're prepared for this. We game plan for it like all week, et cetera, et cetera. I think in home field advantage is fucking out the window anyway. Three out of the four away teams won in the divisional round. So this would actually reinstall a little bit of home field advantage. So if you do go to OT, the home team gets it. They've earned it. They're the higher seed. They had a better season. I think just knowing what's going to happen will solve this. The coin toss is the problem. It's the fucking coin toss. Why do we do this? All right, I'm done. I'm sorry.
I have another. What if it's based off who the refs worked worse throughout the course of the game? Because by the time end of regulation rolls around, you will have seen the replays a million times. So whatever call the refs fucked up the worst, like in basketball, it's like possession arrow. It just goes to them.
Is there like a who got fucked the worst analyst in New York who they cut to?
Completely like unconnected from the league, yeah.
That's Jamel great. Johnson.
It'd be me.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah, come on, man. You know I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to keep it straight, man. Like a goddamn... You know, like some woods or what else is in a line? Like some train tracks, man. I'm gonna keep it real straight for you.
So, who would you have awarded the ball to, Bills, Chiefs, the other night?
Giving it to the Bills. Fuck that.
Yeah, right. Well, then you're out.
Just give the Bills a chance. The thing is, the Bills never had a chance. Man, the Bills blew it. The Bills never had a chance.
We had 50 years without a fucking Super Bowl. We finally get one. We're still underdogs here. We're not the Pats yet. We haven't even won a second Super Bowl, and you're already turning your gaze to the Bills.
Danny. You are Bill Belichick, Danny. You did this. You are Robert Kraft.
Danny, do you remember when the Warriors were America's sweetheart? Oh, that's so fun.
They got at least two championships.
Yeah, well, I'm saying once that happened, people fucking stopped rooting for them.
Then give us the second championship before. That's all I'm saying. Two chips, yeah. And then we can talk about who's the fucking Death Star.
All right. All right, let's move on. We started with this topic, but we're going to come back to it. Aaron Rodgers, a lot of rumors about if he's going to retire, change teams, come back to Green Bay. What should he do? I guess that's the question that we're going to open up. Danny... Is it what do you want Aaron Rodgers to do, or what do you think he's going to do, or what should he do?
I mean,
you're Aaron Rodgers' agent.
It might be all three, but I mean, if we want to just say, you know, just come up with your best Aaron Rodgers 2022-2023 season scenario. I'll just say it right now, and this is going to make definitely two of you unhappy, probably all three. Aaron Rodgers is going to sign with the Dallas Cowboys.
What?
Aaron's gonna get wined and dined. He's gonna have Jerry go out and publicly denounce Dak. He's gonna plunk down a $50 million contract right in front of Aaron's face. Rap Sheet's gonna be there. Schefter's gonna be there. Field Yates will make his way in. All the guys, all the people you hear the rumors from are all gonna be saying this is going down. Just as Aaron's about to put pen to paper, though, he reveals it's all an elaborate prank set up to air on his new show, Aaron, which is like with an exclamation point, like Gutfeld. And that show is simulcast on Fox Sports and Fox News. He's done playing football. He's won his Super Bowl. He's won MVPs. He's done all he needs to do in football and for the city of Green Bay. Now he's got a sight set on being the king of all media. He's going to start with the McAfee market. He's going to destroy McAfee. He's going to be out of the fucking, out of the cultural consciousness in 3 months after Aaron premieres. And eventually he's going to take over all of Rogan's territory. That's why Shailene puts up with it, because she's going to be a billionaire in 5 years.
So
highest rated show in the entire world, next to the NFL.
He's going Jamie Kennedy experiment. That's where he thinks he needs to start.
It's not a prank show, all right? If you've seen the promos for Gutfeld, it's part prank show, part talk show. He also doesn't call them pranks. He calls them trolls. He trolls people. He trolls the libs. He is an in-your-face, sort of a Jon Stewart for the right. But he does it with more of an edge. He thinks he's doing the Chris Rock show, but he's really doing Bill Maher.
That sounded so elaborate. And I got scared because I was like, that might happen. I was like, oh no, yeah. That would be crazy.
His co-host is Ed McMahon, is AJ Hawk. Come on, man.
Whatever it is, he is going to master it and become the most famous media personality. Not just football player. Like, he's going to be the king of all media, Howard Stern level, ultra celeb.
All right. I can't listen to much more of that. Tlaib, what do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to do?
I think he comes back. I think he puts on the green and yellow again. Ooh. I think he is going to be in his head about his legacy. And I think he realizes that even if he gets an MVP this season, people will only remember the COVID stuff and then losing in the first round. I think that's – and I think he's going to hate for that to be the final narrative in Green Bay. So I think he comes back. I don't know if we win at all. I don't know what the team looks like. But I just think he wants to end on a much better note than that, because he right now it looks kind of goofy. It looks like a very goofy fairy tale ending. So I think we'll see him in the green and yellow next year. And if not, then I think he's playing somewhere else. I don't think he retires, though. I think we're looking at Niners. That's my pick. And then number two, I think maybe Titans.
Ooh. I mean, they have a good-ass team.
Yeah, Jamel, you might be busting a little bit of a chub off of that, thinking about the Titans.
Man, I have to saddle up one more time. I mean, honestly, look, the football team is a destination just because I think he would like how many black people agree with him about things.
And first player to rock whatever this new team name is, the Admiral shit.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
One of the least vaccinated teams in the league.
Once it's what I'm saying, it kind of... He'd be like, you know, I mean, there was people in Wisconsin felt me, but they weren't cool.
Yeah.
Welcome to DC.
Shit. He's in the center of the fucking political universe playing for the Washington team.
Well.
He could run for president.
He would be the only guy on the team who doesn't have a house in Ashburn. He's actually going to live in DC at Capitol Hill.
You can't hate, like, there's such a hateful person on that squad, which is Dan Snyder. It's going to be hard for you to hate him more than Dan.
That's
you
know? True. Because like, anytime things are demon. Going wrong, yeah. Anytime things are going wrong, he'll be like, well, you know, we played pretty bad, but at least I didn't illegally film any of the employees. I was just playing quarterback.
I like
he's
it.
He's good. He's good on scot-free from here on out if he goes to WFT.
Yeah, it's good defense. That's all they could ask for. Get Devontae over there with you. Run for president and vice president on a double ticket. We throw touchdown passes for America. We run the fade, the back end zone fade for freedom.
I know that's right.
Jamel, what's up with Aaron Rodgers?
Well, you know, aside from that, I think he should just get an endorsement deal with Wrangler Jeans and accept his fate, which was always to become Brett Favre. He is Brett. Take your one ring, go home, sell jeans. This is what it is, man. You want to keep going for two? Get yourself killed? Yeah, you could go to Tennessee just like Brett did. He was like, oh, we got Adrian Peterson? Oh, yeah, I could work with that. Yeah, get your ass cracked in half. Cause then when fucking Sean Payton comes back and puts a bounty on you, like it's fucking Groundhog's Day.
It is interesting though that he has become this kind of embittered, angry old man that the Green Bay fans are kind of split on, as far as I can tell. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of love there, but he seemed to do everything to be the anti-Favre early in his career. And then
it followed him around. It's like the Santa Claus. If you put those yellow pants on, you eventually develop a pill problem.
Some weird opinions.
Throw picks late in games.
He did this in such an efficient time because he got COVID in October, like mid-October. And, man, he rose the hate charts like a shooting star. I mean, this was, man, nobody could have seen this one coming. I mean,
people
were going inside in August.
I thought that he was a fucking, like, a regular dude and, like, one of the more liberal guys among at least the NFL quarterbacks. Today, he used the term fake White House. The fake White House. That's how he talks now.
Yeah.
What? Where's the real one, dog?
Part of me thinks he's doing this. Like he's very aware. I think he's just leaning into being an asshole. He's doing a great job at it. So, Wrangler Gene ads. Okay.
Is he just kind of rolling around the hay bales with Brett Favre, like do kind of a two generations thing? They're rolling around a little bit like Brokeback, but not, you know, don't go full on.
There's definitely one where they play catch together, but I think the first one, because this would be Wrangler stepping out. This is Wrangler like, look, we were dealing with Brett. We want to be more elevated, Aaron. We know you're a smart, cerebral guy. So it's like him like at the library, but you only see his ass in the jeans or something.
He's doing science. He bends over while pouring a beaker.
Yeah, doing research. He's literally doing research in jeans.
No, it's him at the grave of Bart Starr, and then another Wrangler pair of jeans steps next to him, and it's Favre. And it's just, now we're connecting all
That's
the
Halloween ad. That ain't
all right,
good.
All right. I think Aaron Rodgers should go full sex change and become Aaron Rodgers. Because football is stressful. And some guys just don't know how to turn it off after the game ends. We've seen Brett Favre struggle. Or I guess he kind of just went away, but he's become, you know, a lot of times these guys just go live in the woods somewhere, just sit on a rocking chair and just, I don't know, get bizarre.
Andrew Luck did that. He only played for like 4 years.
Exactly. But that's not Aaron's fate, because Aaron is, I agree with most of you guys, and I agree especially with Danny, he's going to be in the media spotlight. And the reason I'm trying to get around to this, Aaron Rodgers, she's going to go back and get that Jeopardy job. That's what I want to see. Erin Rodgers hosting Jeopardy. I think that's his fate.
They were never going to let a dude do it.
Talib, thank you so much for joining the show. Where can we find you? What are you working on? Let the people know.
You can find me in Uptown. No, Twitter, Instagram at Talib Bev. I'm doing some TikTok too. I'm going to be dropping, releasing an album later this year. So stay tuned for that. And thank you for having me. TalibBabb. That's the handle. Please follow. Appreciate y'all.
Let's go.
Hell yeah. Sorry about the Packers. Coming back on the other side. Danny, your bid for perfection came to a bitter end on Saturday morning. I'm sorry. The Titans screwed you. And the Packers screwed all of us. I did pick the Bengals, so I went 3-1 this last week. You guys both went 2-2. I'm 2 games behind Jamel. Jamel's at 180 and 103. I'm at 178 and 105.
That's 3 games.
No, I'm 2 games behind. You're at 180. I'm at 178 in terms of wins. Wow. Last week, you were at 178. And I was at 175. I went 3-1.
So what are you saying to me?
There are
what
three
I'm saying
games.
To you is, if I pick both these championship games against you, and then we come down to the Super Bowl and we pick against each other, it is possible for me to steal this coupon.
I can't. What a meltdown by me.
Well, you do have the ability to block Dan from winning just by picking the exact same way that he does. Now, I, being the obviously the loser here, I think I should get some kind of veto power, whether or not you do things deliberately.
Okay.
And well, I say yeah, go for it.
Because here's the real thing. Like, if it ends in a tie, then Danny's just buying us gift cards. There's no, you know what I'm saying?
It can't end in a tie. Because the only scenario is if we pick both games against each other this week, either you win. If you win one of them, you win.
It's over.
So I'd have to win both and then also win in the Super Bowl. So that's the only path to championship for me, myself. But hey, let's just talk about these things. I don't know if you guys want to go through some of last week's games or just kind of as we preview this week's games, it'll come up. Let's just say it. Sunday, January 30th, Bengals at Chiefs, 12 p.m. start. Danny, how do you feel about a 12 p.m. start? How do you feel about the fact that the Bengals have already beat this Chiefs team? How do you feel about the Joe Burrow hive buzzing around Arrowhead?
You know, we've dealt with all the hives. We've dealt with all the fucking the Herbert hive and the fucking Lamar Jackson hive and the goddamn Josh Allen hive. And now we got a new
honeycomb hive. Yeah.
It's all bees flying around and Mahomes just swats them away or gives them cancer or whatever is happening to them now. Bees are not as powerful as they used to be. And I just, you know, 12 p.m. start, if you're going to ask if that is a real question, I'm fine with it because we won the Titans AFC championship game in the daytime. Now we won the subsequent Bills championship game at night, so it really doesn't matter. It just seems like, you know, daytime fun. I got some burger meat. I'm going to put that out on the grill.
Ooh.
You know, anybody's welcome to come over and eat burgers and maybe some chicken. And watch us beat the Bengals. I think that's the most important part.
Chickens on the table. That's interesting.
I went to Costco.
Hey, let's go. And I do have I needed a reason to bring out my chinchilla jersey.
Ooh, damn. I forgot about that jersey. You do need to wear that.
I just feels think, right. I think that game in week 17 was interesting. Because, and not in the way that Bengals fans want, because they competed at home. We were up 28-17 at one point. They came back. A lot of Jamar Chase. The dude went off for 266 yards.
And refs three bullshit touchdowns. As well.
That's got to happen again for them to win by 3 points. And they're not at home. They're at Arrowhead Stadium, the loudest place in the universe. And Mahomes is playing better than he was back then. And he was pretty great. And we've known every single thing on the field that they're trying to do from just seeing them a couple weeks ago. They don't have other moves. We have 1,000 other moves. And we have the fucking Grim Reaper.
One of the greatest Andy Reid quotes. You know, when things get grim, be the Grim Reaper. He also had a great one. Forget what the other quote was. I'll try and look that up. I have a question for you, Danny. Tyreek Hill, obviously one of the quickest players we've ever seen. You guys just throw him back there for punt returns when you need him. Why, when the playoffs start, isn't he just back there every time?
I think they do want to keep him fresh for the fourth quarter. I mean, look at what he did in this fourth quarter. He was faster than ever.
When you can only use having your best player be your best wide receiver. You only use that punt return bullet once. Those are the rules.
He's just terrifying in that role. I would never want to punt to that guy.
That's true. I
You would never want to do anything with that guy. You don't want to cover that guy. There's nothing. He could go anywhere and do anything.
And a lot of the coverage on Tyreek Hill this week is going to be Eli Apple. And that guy really said a mouthful of shit that got him in some deep hash. And I don't know if he's going to be feeling good about himself or not after those Saints fans get on him for saying they had crawdads in their brains.
Wow.
His Twitter account has been going crazy this week. Eli Apple is extremely active, and he's doing the thing where he's retweeting and reposting a ton of like very pro Eli Apple content. That's all he's doing is like highlights of him making good plays. Whereas anybody quoting like the actual statistics are like he's actually one of the worst corners, but he's protecting himself.
There's always a guy like this in the playoffs that gets fucking smoked and just looks like an asshole. It's definitely going to happen.
Who is your cornerback that got fucking sniped by Gabriel Davis?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was annoying. But he was not supposed to be on the field. He's a fourth string quarterback or cornerback, Mike Hughes. We picked him up off the trash heap. We like to try to rehabilitate first rounders. It's worked a few times, and it looked pretty bad in that game. We're getting Rashad Fenton back. He's our regular number three. So
is Honey Badger going to play?
He's just got a concussion. I think he's definitely going to play. We've stopped caring as much about concussions as we did a couple of years ago. Thanks to COVID.
And COVID. No player has tested positive since the fucking playoffs started. What a coincidence.
Hey, bring it on. Bring it on. What's the new thing you got? Try to kill football. I dare you, God.
Okay. I want to hear your doomsday scenario. I think we were actually, to pat ourselves on the back, before the Chiefs-Bucks Super Bowl, we talked about that O-line and the likelihood of Patrick Mahomes running for his life and having to be Superman. And like, that was the doomsday scenario of just like, if that dude's just underdressed the entire game, it might look a little bit like it did. We talked about that scenario. What is the doomsday scenario here? I guess Mahomes getting hurt is like the worst thing that could possibly happen.
Don't bring that out into the fucking world, you asshole. Well, you know. After you said all that stuff about Aaron Rodgers with an E.
I love Aaron Rodgers with an E. She is going to be a great host.
I do believe that that could happen, that was the scenario that is the most likely, a repeat of the Bucks. But that's not what this line has been letting happen. And we were up against the number one defense in the entire league last week. I don't think the Bengals are anywhere past, like, they're definitely not top 10. They have one pass rusher. I don't know if you could name the other guy who's not Trey Hendrickson. And then what else do they got? Kind of a good run defense? Get out of here. They're not going to stop us.
I thought Jerick McKinnon revealed himself to be unreliable last week. I would not ride him. Mm. I think Clyde looked pretty good, so I trust him a little bit more.
Wow.
You know what's really interesting about this Chiefs team is that, and you saw it in that 3rd-and-1 play that could have been disastrous, where Blake Bell takes a snap and they do this speed option to the short side of the field. It's bizarre. But it goes back to a couple seasons ago, the Broncos QB sneak where Mahomes got hurt. They're scared to sneak Mahomes. They just won't do it.
That's fine. I would prefer that as well. I watched this game with a Chiefs fan who was saying the exact same thing.
It's true.
But you just, I mean, that knee comes out. Anything comes out. Anything where he can't come in for a single play. Who needs that shit? I'd rather you run a wacky Andy Reid special with 10 fucking tight ends on the field and an eligible center downfield. I don't give a shit. Just don't put Mahomes in harm's way. He did it to himself too many times against the Bills. Too many times where he was getting kicked on and slid on. I didn't like it.
You don't think this Bengals offense is watching film from last week and just licking their lips? They're like, we can throw the ball just like the Bills did. Our receivers are better. Joe Mixon's better than Devin Singletary. Like, Joe Burrow isn't as good as Josh Allen, but he's pretty good.
Honey Badger, there was a middle of the field problem against the Bengals because Honey Badger was out. We've managed to be pretty good at playing secondary for the last 18 games of this season. We just haven't really locked it down. Maybe not 18, 14.
My doomsday scenario for you guys, Danny, is some of the early season bullshit rears its head again, and guys are just tipping balls into the Bengals' hands, and there's 3 turnovers in a half, and you're just like, what the fuck is happening? And the defense looks just as bad as they did last week. Like, the Bengals haven't been in this game for 33 years. They have beaten this Chiefs team this season.
So do
their
the Bills.
Offense is the best part of their team, so they can go blow for blow. They can score touchdown for touchdown.
Bills.
I'm picking the Chiefs. What the hell are you guys talking about?
I'm painting pictures, Jamel.
Dan, put the brush down. Chiefs, did you see what happened last week?
Yes. Beware of the team that looked too good the previous week. It's a football rule.
What? All the teams look pretty good. It's here's
Bengals
here's,
didn't look that good.
They look yeah. So you know they're gonna bounce back and be great. This is crazy. It's crazy talk. We just came back from the dead to win a game. We have all the momentum. We have all the heat. We have all the intangibles you want. Joe Burrow is a scared little bunny with no offensive line.
And you've got a loud ass crowd. The crowd is going to be louder than humanly possible.
Paul it's Rudd going to is scare gonna him. Do the sing the national anthem. It's going to be crazy.
So yeah, we should talk. We should just say an in memoriam to the Titans for 1 second. I mean, these are the Titans of that will be no more. I think. I don't think we'll have this group of guys together again. Should have run Deontay Foreman. That's really what you have.
That is really, and you know what? That is exactly what the big problem was. I don't understand why they was trying to force Henry. He got his one touchdown. That was enough. Like, put Foreman back in. They're all basically baby versions. Just put Kid Boo in the game. It's fine. That's a really good Dragon Ball Z reference. Mm-hmm. The nerds will get it.
The hard part with that is it's a no win as a coach. Your all-world running back is now eligible to play and wants to. And you're like, I think you're cold. Like, that's a tough decision to sell to the fans and the team if that's the way you want to go. So
nah, it's just coaches have never figured out when to let go.
I'm with you.
Of the coin.
I think you guys are right.
You do play him. You put him in the game. The fans see him. It juices up the crowd. He scores a touchdown, and once you see him score a touchdown, you have to realize, all right, this is going better than it should. Analytics.
Love it.
The man hasn't played in fucking 10 fucking weeks. The fact that he even scored a touchdown is a miracle. We take him out of the game now, we fucking play ball control, and then he'll actually be ready next week.
Yeah. That's really, I mean, that's why, you know, the Steelers game, I think, was important, an important tune-up. For the Chiefs, it helped us get something going. I think that's what the bye is tough about. And Henry coming back, not having come back for, you know, 9 weeks, that's got to be tough. He didn't have it, and they didn't want to. They wanted to keep the fans engaged, and they lost the game because of it. It's a real catch 22.
Yeah,
I think we can't pay it because fuck the fans. You can't ever listen to the fans.
That's what I'm saying. We're done.
I'm officially picking the Bengals in this game.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus.
Obviously, it's for...
right, of course. Okay.
For totals. But I have talked myself into a scenario where this happens.
Yeah,
it is not inconceivable to me.
Chiefs lose this game. Hey, I guess God is real. I don't know.
I mean...
And he has powers.
I don't see where they have the advantage in any part of this game. The coaching advantage, Chiefs. Quarterback, Chiefs. You know, playoff veteranship. Like, they have everything. It's just like, football's stupid. We know that. Dumb shit happens all the time. Clyde could just drop the ball for no reason and just burn the team.
Once.
Sorry. I'm not trying to jinx your team, I promise.
I'm not worried about the jinx. I appreciate it. You got to win this week just to have any semblance of a ghost of a chance of getting your gift card. You got to talk yourself into it. You got to put that out into the universe. But, you know, you have to know what you're up against here. You're talking about the Bengals in the Super Bowl.
Joe Burrow Super Bowl. We're going to see it at some point in our lifetime.
Does it sound right?
Why not now?
Does it sound right to you at home?
All right. NFC, 3:30 p.m. Niners at Rams, SoFi Stadium. I will be in attendance. I will be reporting on behalf of Sorry We Love Football.
You're the COVID cowboy.
As a Rob Lowe fan, I'm going to have an NFL hat on and just be there to soak in the atmosphere and see a bunch of nervous fans and what it's like. That's going to be fun. The Niners just stole that shit from the Packers. Holy crap. Like, they were horrible. I mean, Jimmy G was awful in that game. Their offense came alive and late down the stretch. They have a knack for playing well in big moments, but for 55 minutes, that team, that offense was terrible. Their defense was great the whole game. And they have all the moxie and all the intangibles and all the thing that you love about football teams. It's just like, They rush the ball well. They're physical. They're tough. They've been there. All that shit. Their quarterback sucks, so they got to rally around him. Everybody else has to step it up.
God, he does suck, man.
He's terrible.
He tried his best to blow that game.
He did.
You knew it was coming. The problem with these games, like the Bengals game and this Packers game, just the both Saturdays, like I could see, we all knew Jimmy G was going to throw a pick. We all knew Derrick Henry was going to score a touchdown, but I just couldn't see the rest of the, man, being a medium is hard.
Yeah. To achieve full clarity is tough because you get these little bits and pieces and you're like, oh, Jimmy G throws a pick. Like, I know it's going to happen. And it was one of the worst editions of Jimmy G interceptions that we've seen. Holy shit, that was a bad pass.
It was a bad pass. It was at the worst time, but somehow he got bailed out. It was crazy, man. But now you get back indoors where you want to be.
A team whose soul they own. They've beat them 6 times in a row.
One of the only teams Jimmy G really plays well against.
I don't know if I can trust Cam Akers. He's fumbling his ass off. I thought Matt Stafford was pooping his pants most of that second half until the last drive.
Hold on, brother. See, I don't think that's what we need to realize. Matt Stafford was never the one pooping his pants.
He pooped.
All of his guys around him were pooping their pants.
Jalen Ramsey pooped his pants.
And he had to put Jalen Ramsey, poopy pants. Cooper Kupp, doo-doo pants. Cam Akers, shit running into his socks. And Matt Stafford's just looking around. Everybody's got shit in their drawers. He was the only one. He fucking held them guys together.
Yeah. So what are we saying here? I mean, he's never made it this far. I don't know if I trust him. I thought he.
Oh, but you trust Joe Burrow. Get out of here.
I do. Trust Joe
Burrow. You're full of shit. Just like all the people on the Rams, who I'm picking, by the way, because I did think Jimmy G really G'd it up. I mean, that Super Bowl miss to Emmanuel Sanders was the sign of things to come.
That was it.
I watched every fucking drop of that Niners-Packers game, and I still can't tell you how the Packers lost or how they didn't score any touchdowns. It seemed like everything was kind of fine and normal in Packers winning universe. And then it wasn't. All of a sudden, I realized after that special teams block kick touchdown that they were tied and that they weren't down by 3 touchdowns. It felt weird. And I know that the Niners own the Rams, but, you know, the Rams are due for a Super Bowl again more than the Niners are. The Niners were more recently. They were 2 years ago. The Rams were 3 years ago. So there you go. It seems like the Rams now get the turn at the Super Bowl to lose to a better team.
I have picked against Trent Williams 2 weeks in a row. I have been wrong 2 times in a row.
I mean, that play where he pulled and blocked, that's football porn, literally.
Why is he always hurt? Like, I'm not saying, like, he's never in games. He's always in games. We just always hear about how hurt he is. He just gets just the message across.
He's a big dude.
And I'm not even saying that I'm just saying we hear about him being hurt more than we hear about any specific player ever, besides maybe Baker Mayfield.
And Jamel, sorry, I cut you off. You were saying Trent Williams, you picked against him twice. Where are you going with that?
I don't know. Kyle Shanahan,
amazing
playoff coach. The man knows how to coach in a playoff game.
He's coaching with Falcons. 2 arms tied behind his back with the quarterback that he has.
That's what I'm saying, man. But yet and still, he finds himself in these big games. At what point does Kyle Shanahan get his flowers?
The NFC game is all about who's not going to make a mistake. And that's how you know that's a Super Bowl loser. It's just about who is going to somehow will themselves to do something they don't normally do and not give the game away to the other team. And I mean, even in the Rams game, they tried to give that game back to Tom Brady so many times. He just didn't have an offensive line. How does that feel, Tom? Feels pretty fun, huh? To not have any protection at all for your little white ass to go around doing your little dinks and dunks and bloops. Fuck you. I'm glad Tom Brady is gone. I loved seeing him bloodied up. That's what I like about the Rams, really, more than anything, is they have – both teams have a good defense. That's fine. Somebody has to not fuck it up, and it feels like Matthew Stafford is the kind of guy who has enough experience fucking things up to maybe one time not fuck it up. Jimmy G's only really been in an important fucking up situation one other time.
And you know, and the only thing I had right about last weekend for sure was Von Miller.
Yeah, he showed up.
Von Miller saved the game multiple times for them. And he's doing it again. I'm going with the Rams.
Wow. Trent, I'm so sorry.
Congo, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're giving almost no reason, really. I mean, like,
no reason.
At this point, it's just about your guts. And I get that it doesn't make sense completely in your mind. And we'll hear about it.
Nothing we're saying makes sense.
Danny, who would you rather play is my question. Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl. Who do you want to see?
The Rams.
I think it is the Rams. Just because it seems like the Niners can do one other thing that the Rams can't do. They all have great receivers. They have a good running game. They have good defense and everything like that. Good across the board. Niners have Deebo Samuel. I don't know what we would do about that specifically. I think we can handle what the Rams have going.
Which I don't even understand why I'm picking against them again. I'm so dumb.
Yeah, I do. We have disrespected the Niners team all season. It's well documented. And because they play games like that Packers game.
Yeah.
They just scraped by. Like, that was not – in like, full credit to them. They kept it close. They played gritty football. They really stifled Rodgers. Like, that's a hard thing to do, and they did it.
They've only ever looked good in a game against the Rams. That is the only time I think I've ever seen the Niners look good all season.
Yeah, they destroyed them, I think, week 5, and then they barely beat them week 18. I'm picking the Niners. I think they have this weird feel. They feel like the fucking Eli Manning Giants teams, where they just have to get by with a shit quarterback, but everyone else steps up and plays out of their fucking minds for a couple weeks.
So you're doing it. You're going full counter program to Jamel's picks.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Should I just pick the Niners right now? Hey, I'm picking the Niners. How about that?
I'm picking the Rams then.
You don't even believe in the Niners. I do believe in
the Niners. I'm rooting for the Niners heavily in this
game.
You
want a gift card. Say that, you know, that's the real betrayal of Andrew Kungle. At least we're coming at it from an honest place.
Yeah.
Honest place. I'm glad Jamel picked the Rams. Obviously, we need to keep some intrigue for the gift card, but I am genuinely picking the Niners. I think they're a better team. I think it matters that they've beat them so many times in a row.
The Niners are a better team.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm picking the Rams.
That was my logic with the last game.
What am I gonna say, man? I've just been dead ass wrong.
Yeah, I mean, if I had money on it, I'd pick the Niners. But on this show, Rams.
And the sick reason that I keep picking against the Niners is because I want Jimmy G to come play for my fucking trash bag full of diapers of a football team.
Oh, that's how low you've sunk. You want
to the depths.
You want a guy coming up small in big moments just so you can be in big moments.
You are exactly correct. Sounds delicious.
Okay. We've made it to championship week. We've only got 3 football games left of this season, so let's try and enjoy these. Danny, I know you will.
I will. I'll probably be the only one who's really enjoying it genuinely. And you, of course, Dan, will be enjoying it out of spite for your many anti-Cowboys angles that you've found.
So good. If fucking Aaron Rodgers goes to the Cowboys and they hire Sean Payton, it'd be a disaster. So I don't need to get into any of that, but let's get to the mailbag. It's the busiest time. It's mail season. It's championship round. You guys just keep sending letters, and we're going to read some. Jamel.
What?
Talk to us.
You've got mail.
See, you say talk to us. It's so funny you say talk to us. I got something better than that. Coach Mike Vrabel, he just flew into LA. Oh, he's been sitting in my closet. Hey, come out here, Coach. Come out here, guys. Thanks for waiting until the end of the episode, too. Oh, hey, no problem, guys. Hey, what's going on? Dan, hey, how you guys doing? Hey, it's been a while. I had to come see you guys. You know, it's been a rough week down in Nashville, but I told Jamel I was going to do the show. He gave me a really good coupon book a couple months back. Me and the kids have been going to Little Caesars every weekend ever since. So I just wanted to say a thanks to him. You know, some things are bigger than the game. I wanted to explain a little bit of that Bengals loss. It was definitely on me. I actually told Ryan Tannehill to throw that interception to start the game. It was a part of the strategy. You figure have him throw a pick, and then I have a heart attack, and then kind of lull the Bengals to sleep. You know, they think, oh, okay, so Coach Vrabel's dead. We can kind of just do whatever we want, kind of prance around, and then we pounce on him. And it kind of backfired on me. So it's not on Ryan. We'll all be back next year. I don't know if you guys had a couple questions for me. You feel free. I really got to pee, so make it quick.
Coach, you famously said a few seasons back, if you won the Super Bowl, you would chop your own penis off. Is that still on the table for next season?
Well, I honestly chopped it off after I said that as part of a human sacrifice to get home field advantage this year. It kind of didn't fully pay off. I turned my penis into a sausage. I then ate it and had a heart attack. You win some, you lose some, you know, Dan.
It's just funny that I think he was saying he would chop off his dick to win the Super Bowl, not when he wins the Super Bowl. But either way, it sounds like it's moot because his dick is gone.
Dick's gone perfectly. I do not have a penis connected to my body, guys. It's confirmed.
Coach, I have a question because we did hear that Andy Reid quote about be the Grim Reaper. Did you have a quote for Ryan Tannehill going into the fourth quarter, that last interception? What did you say to him?
You know what? Honestly, I pulled him to the side and I said, hey, brother, honestly, none of us are supposed to be here. Just do what you feel, man. I died 10 times this season. You know how many heart attacks you've seen me have, Ryan? Just go out there and sling it, bud. You should be working at a FedEx Kinko's. And don't forget that.
Thanks for stopping by, Coach, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, no problem. I got to. Jamel, what are you doing with my – I got to go see what he's doing with my bag. Thanks again, guys.
Wow. thanks to Coach Vrabel for stopping by. We missed you, Coach. Danny, do you have a letter?
Sure. I mean, Coach actually grabbed this for me from the bottom of the bag. Hey, guys, love the show. My name is Frank. But you might know me better as Finns fan Frank, the Tuanon shaman. I've been very vocal all year about Tua's misrepresentation by the Jew and Mina Kimes run media, how they've slandered a truly great quarterback for money and clicks. So I've sat through this weekend's playoff games, keeping my close eye on how these QBs really stack up. And it came to me at the end of the Bills-Chiefs game in a flash of pure perfect clarity. I'm out. I'm out on Tua. I see now that I've gone down a deep rabbit hole of pretty obvious misinformation, clearly designed to prey on my many implicit biases and self-serving ideals. Turns out the experts were right. All you need to do is watch a real quarterback for 1 second, and the truth becomes laughably undeniable, as it was for so many for so long. Anyway, the FBI is here to rightfully take me to prison. So that's it for the Tuanon Shaman. Let this serve as a wake-up call to my brothers in the Mac Jones Militia, the Tannehive, and the Lamar Jackson Truthers. I'd include Jalen Hurts in there, but it's the NFC, so who cares? Let's go, Brandon!
Oh man, Tunon's over.
Damn, for real? Sorry, I just sat down.
It really was dumb the whole time, if you ever really stopped to look at it.
Are they still waiting around for Dan Marino Jr. to show up?
There's got to be another guy in the mix. That's what keeps Tunon going. You got to get another guy who is really the guy. Another guy named Tua.
Jay Fiedler Jr. Jr.
Ooh. I like that. Okay. Hey, I got a letter here from Troy Aikman. Troy, doesn't say Troy writes, says Troy complains that I'm sick and tired of working with Joe Buck. We got that terrible Bucks game in the wild card round, and then we got Packers Niners, boring as shit, and I'm just sick and tired of it. 20 years, same old boring crap coming out of Joe's stupid mouth. People come up to me all the times on the street, and they think that I'm Joe. I have 3 Super Bowl rings. What did Joe Buck ever win? We go to dinner. He orders like a moron. I'm sick of this bullshit. He's driving me so crazy that I'm going to quit the business and start my own beer company. It's called 8 Beer. It's the new low-carb, low-cal, light beer option, and it's only available in Texas. And Joe Buck is not allowed to drink any. Signed, Troy Aikman.
Can you ban one guy?
I don't know. guys, that's a real thing. Troy Aikman has started his own beer, and it's called 8.
We got to get some sent to us by our sponsors.
Yeah, no bullshit, dude.
Spotify Green Room still?
Yeah, hey, somebody send us a case of 8 beer. If you're any Texas listener, please grab some. Send it our way. We'd be very happy to sip on some delicious Troy Aikman light beer.
Send us something. Send us a bumper sticker. Send us some weird fan art. I don't care. Let's get something out of this pod.
Danny, final thoughts on the week?
You know, I just don't think it can be any better than this, that where we're at right now. I feel invincible. We will not be let down. We're going to win the Super Bowl. Nothing bad can ever happen. Let's go Chiefs.
I was going to go genuine too. Final thoughts. That wasn't the best game that I've ever seen. I would say like the first half was just kind of normal excitement, normal Bills Chiefs excitement. It ramped the fuck up in the fourth quarter. It was probably the best back and forth last 2 minutes I've ever seen, for sure.
25 points in 2 minutes, man.
Yeah. No, it was the greatest. It was the most exciting ending of a game I've ever seen.
And it wasn't because of a ton of pass interference calls.
No penalties.
It was just straight balling.
It was amazing. And like, you know, the rich get richer, and I am happy for you, Danny. And I love Andy Reid. I love Patrick Mahomes. God damn. You waited your whole life, and it's now, so enjoy it.
We have demoralized the Buffalo Bills, too, in a way that I feel really bad for. And I knew I have not talked to any of my Bills fans, friends. I texted with Joe Pera for a little bit, but he was very gracious, as you would expect. It's annoying. He didn't even really
get upset. Well, yeah, because his life is going too well. His life is going too good to get that mad about the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron's life is great too, but she seemed pretty broken up by it, and I have not messaged her. So I guess my real final thought is, Aaron, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I don't know how to stop the pain. I know
that Aaron Conroy also.
Very also cool. Aaron Conroy, my God, all the Aarons. Aaron Rodgers, Jesus. Also
Ooh,
disappointed.
I apologize to you.
Jamel,
my final thought is that when this Super Bowl is inevitably Niners-Bengals, it's worth watching. Don't forget, this is a rematch. Great time to grab some Mitchell and Ness gear. I'll probably get my hands on an Anthony Munoz jersey if and when.
You didn't pick either team.
Nope. I'm sorry for contradicting myself. You know, I'm sorry.
Go drink some Troy Aikman 8 beer. I'm sorry.
All right.